Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
The How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
The process of getting divorced might suck, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced.
You have found the only divorce podcast that's hosted by a family law attorney and a recovering comedian. Get ready for action steps, empathy, and a lot of laughs.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Ah, summer, vacation vibes, sunshine, summer camp. What could possibly put a damper on your life?
Co-parenting drama. Unless you're proactive and wildly smart, which, I mean, you listen to this show, so duh. All the smarties are using Our Family Wizard, the judge-approved and attorney-recommended co-parenting app.
Whether you're high conflict or you just want to stay organized, Our Family Wizard is our official co-parenting app recommendation for this show.
And guess what? We are the only ones who can offer you a discount. That's right. Go to ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck20 and save 20%. I have lots of things to share. Number one, yesterday I was watching the Call Her Alex, the Alex Cooper documentary, which is, if you don't know who that is, she hosts the wildly popular, almost as popular as this podcast called Call Her Daddy. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you haven't. Well, you know how she calls everybody the daddy gang? Do you know this?
I don't know that. It sounds so weird and kind of gross.
Okay, well, open mind. Obviously, we can't call everybody here the daddy gang, but we need a phrase. We need to coin something. So I'm thinking like maybe something with suckers. I mean, I don't know. Like, I get it would be like, hey, sucker gang, because that's weird. Like, mother suckers. I don't know. And like, you listen to the show, I guess you don't suck. But I want to know if you guys have any ideas, send it to us. Because we're going to be the Alex Coopers of the divorce world. I'm already telling people that we are. So help me make this dream a reality. In other news, this is very exciting, Morgan. I just got off a call with our lead marketing director, not me, Jamie. And we are starting our line of merch.
Ow.
That's right, Mobile Psychos. See how I did that? See how I flowed right into it? Girl, our merch line is going to be so lit. As the young ones say, fire, I believe.
Oh, God. Okay, fire. Here we go.
Okay, so that's number two. And in other news, it's so funny. We talk about on this show all the time how like tomorrow's a new day. You might wake up tomorrow feeling like you don't want to run your car off the road. That is me today. I have been in such, I mean, this the death of my bubby has fucking rocked my world. And as you guys know, last week when we recorded, I was in Texas still doing all the stuff. I'm finally back home. Yesterday was a really hard day. Yesterday was actually my birthday. And I was so sad and like couldn't get through the day. And today, what do you know? I'm so much better. Tomorrow might be shitty again. But I just, for everyone who is doggy paddling through what you're going through right now, I gotta tell you, what we're talking about is in fact not total bullshit, because I can tell you through experience that this is real.
Wow. You just dropped like a lot in that first section of our podcast. So happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks, girl.
And if you don't see Andrea, she is wearing the cutest pajamas that none other than myself sent her, because I knew she needed some pajamas to get through her rough week. And they're adorable. But the minute that you actually got on the podcast, you had a total happiness like about you. And so, you know, it's kind of true that you do come, you turn that corner. You don't always know when you're going to turn that corner, but you know when it happens. And I was just talking to somebody the other day who was in a rough spot. And I was joking about the day, you don't almost know when you're in such a bad spot, that what wakes you up to it is when you're in a good spot.
Totally.
And you're like, oh, I feel great today. Or I'm like really happy. Like, wow, I was really miserable. Isn't that so true?
So true. And I know, you know, like in the time that you and I have done this show together, we both had things happen in our world that have really taken us for a turn. And, you know, like you have to keep going. We have to keep working. We have to keep showing up. People who are navigating a divorce, they don't get to put their life on hold. They don't get to quit their job. They can't stop being a parent. They have to still like show up and do the things, but you feel like you're underwater and you don't really realize how bad it is until you have that like moment of, oh my God, whoa. It's a lot like we talked about several episodes ago, where I was talking about my experience with prior to getting on like the hormone treatment and how I didn't realize how dark I was until you feel that bit of relief. So you guys, when you have that day of relief, lean into it, lean into it. Go get that sunshine on your face. Go be happy, because you don't know how long it's going to last. And the episode that we're talking about today is really geared towards the people who are in that pre-stage where the feelings are really big, because you are just starting to maybe think about getting a divorce. So that roller coaster is up and down and upside down, and there's all of these possibilities flying your way, like, could I do this? Should I do this? I'm hearing all these different options. Can we do a trial separation? Would that be a good idea? Okay. Hold up. The episode that you're about to hear is not meant to stress you out further, and it's not meant to scare you, but it's meant to get you thinking critically. If you listen to the episode that we did last week on manipulation, it gave you a really helpful acronym, WTF, which, by the way, I'm loving that so many of you guys are using it, because the feedback you're giving us is fantastic. But I want you to think, WTF, it doesn't stand for what the fuck. It stands for what do they want, be three steps ahead, and stick to the facts. In this episode, I really want to focus on the T, the three steps ahead part. Because you might hear us say things in this conversation and think, okay, yeah, but Morgan, that doesn't really apply to me. Or you guys are making a really big deal about something that isn't that serious. And maybe it's not that serious. Maybe some of these things that we're bringing up aren't going to be that big of a deal in your case. Or maybe they will be. So I want you to be cautious and not make fast decisions when you have potentially so much on the line.
So here's some of the topics we're going to go over today. And remember that the topic today is, what are the biggest pre-divorce mistakes and how could something that you're making a decision before your divorce affect you in your potential divorce? So what we're going to talk about is trial separations, the concept of nesting, maybe moving out or making unofficial slash official financial deals before you go down the road of divorce.
I just mentioned trial separations, and this week we actually got three emails about trial separations. Two people were already in the middle of one. One person is thinking about one. So let's start there. Why? Tell me all about it, Morgan. Why do people want to do a trial separation? I don't mean that like you guys are so dumb, but like, tell me all the things.
All right. So trial separations can look many different ways. So I wouldn't say that there's one size fits all. It could be that you're just kind of living separate lives. It could be that one person has kind of moved out of the residence and you're separated truly for a period of time. It could be that you've put like a time period on it for the separation. Then you're going to either decide after that whether to stay together or come back. There's some things to think about with trial separations. Number one is, you know, where it can hurt you if you were to go down the road of divorce. Number one is, a lot of times people want trial separations to figure out whether they're better apart, whether essentially just a cooling off period can help. And sometimes they backfire on people. So sometimes it's kind of like one side, especially for the side who's kind of got their foot out the door in the marriage, leaving the marital residence and actually separating could be a negative thing. It could kind of push them towards divorce more because maybe they're having their cake and eating it too. Have you ever thought about that, Andrea?
Well, but why? Okay. Why would, if they leave and if they're doing something else on the side or whatever, wouldn't, if they're having their cake and, I don't know that I see it that way because maybe they really do want the divorce.
Like, so true.
I don't know. I think what I'm curious to know is, oh my God, I have so many thoughts. Where we practice, because now I'm an attorney too, where you practice it here in Illinois, do they do legal separations? Because I know in some areas they do, like, we are legally separated.
Or yeah. At least
that's what I see all the guys on Bumble talk about when I don't know.
I mean, there is such a thing where I practice as legal separations. I would tell you we rarely do them. It really doesn't make any sense. I mean, a separation is a separation. So, you know, what a separation is, a true separation is if somebody's moving out of the house and going somewhere else and you're actually living apart to see if you can figure it out, work on your marriage, figure out if you're better apart, better together, et cetera. Where trial separations can really hurt your case if you do go to a divorce is if you have children. And one person is moving out of the house. Because effectively, when you're moving out of the house, and most lawyers will tell you, don't move out of the house if you have children, because you don't have a parenting schedule in place. So effectively, let's just put it back to Chad and Brenda, who everybody knows, that's our favorite couple we always talk about. Let's just say that it's Chad. Chad's going to move out of the house. Well, the minute Chad moves out of the house, he doesn't have a parenting schedule with his kids. So really, Brenda's in control of the children at that point. So that is something that could really hurt you in a divorce and or trial or in front of a judge if somebody's moved out of the house, because it's kind of looked at like you really don't care that much about the kids. You care more about how you're feeling, which is kind of negative, but also it's true. You're the one that's kind of clawing back parenting time.
But financially speaking, why does somebody have a legal separation? Are there any like financial parameters that are put in place, like, okay, for the next 6 months, Chad and Brenda are going to separate. So Brenda, you cannot take all of this marital money and go to Fiji. Or like, I mean, like, I don't understand why people do this. And if there's a way, if something protects them or doesn't protect them, or why they shouldn't do it at all financially.
Yeah. The only time that we really would see, at least from my perspective in the last, you know, 18 plus years of practicing, the only time I really see a legal separation, at least where I practice, is when you have two elderly people that really need health care or health insurance or something like that, but really truly want to be divorced. But for the fact that they would need to find their own health care, they're going to stay together. So that would be some place that you might want to do a legal separation. But in reality, where I am, it's not really a thing. And so, you know, you hear about it and things like that, but it really isn't done in practice a lot.
So when people say that we're going to do a trial separation, what are we really talking about? We're really talking about we both of us or one of us thinks that we want a divorce. So we're going to slowly move towards that, but not use that term because that feels big and scary right now.
Exactly. Or they're trying to figure out, you know, if we move apart, is that going to make us want to be together more? Well, a lot of people go with that, you know, thought when they're trying to do this trial separation. It's like, we're going to figure out that we're better together. And sometimes that happens, but in reality, from what I've seen is separations, usually if you're at that stage in your marriage, I would say the majority of the time, you're not getting back the marriage that I've seen.
So what you do instead is don't put the label of I'm going through a trial separation. Be a big girl, be a good boy. Hey, daddy gang. Be a big boy, be a big girl, and say, we're going through a thing right now, and we're going to explore whether this marriage could and should be saved. Go to discernment counseling.
Yeah.
Do something to actually, I think that's my issue with when I hear people saying we're doing this trial separation. And I had somebody emailed us saying that they've been officially separated for years now. Like, the fuck is going on?
Right. Well, that's the thing is like, it usually what I see is trial separations work wonderful for the person who really wants the divorce. They work horribly for the person that doesn't. And the reality is if somebody really kind of wants a divorce, don't give them a trial separation. Let them stay where they have to work on things, where they have to see you. Because if it's going to work, that's the way it's going to work is when you're together. It's certainly going to be, you know, kind of cupcakes and rainbows if the person wants a divorce and now you're giving them their second house. I mean, they're basically living a single life.
So Brenda goes to Chad and says, Chad, I don't think things are working out. I cannot believe I married a guy named Chad, number one. And I think we need to do a trial separation. What does Chad do? What does Chad say?
What do you mean? What does he say?
I mean,
is this a trick question?
if Chad listened to this episode, okay, and Chad's like, fuck no, I'm not going to give you a trial separation.
Yeah.
What do you say? What kind of tools can we give people who are in this right now? Because I don't know what he says.
Well, I mean, Chad says, no, I'm not, especially if you have kids. No, I want to work on this. If this is going to work, it's going to work with us being together. And the most important thing is I'm not moving away from my children unless and until we have an agreement on how we're both going to see the kids. It's not helping.
Can you, if both Chad and Brenda lawyer up during this time, can we put together, I know this is a state-to-state thing, can you have a temporary parenting allocation in order while Chad and Brenda figure it out?
Absolutely. We do that all the time. Their temporary agreements gives Chad the ability to move out or Brenda, whoever wants to move out and start a, you know, kind of potential schedule with the children. Remember, that also has ramifications because you're kind of setting a status quo there for the court. So you want to be really careful about these temporary agreements. And this is why we're doing this episode is thinking ahead. You know, how does the agreement that I'm making now, whether I'm in a divorce or not, maybe affect where I might be if I do go down the road of divorce? That's why we're doing this.
3 steps ahead. And so friends, don't do this agreement unofficially. Don't just let, you know, Brenda and Chad put together an email and say, like, hey, this is what we're going to do. It will behoove you to go and like make sure that this is solid legally, because to what Morgan just said, if you agree to something now and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I didn't like this, in front of a judge, they're going to say, well, you did this for 9 months. The kids are used to this. Why did you agree to something that now you don't like? Okay. I want to talk about something that I know you love because you are such a proponent and you just want everybody to go and do this.
Can't wait. No.
Nesting.
If you didn't hear the sarcasm in Andrea's voice, you should, because you would know that if you've listened to any of our episodes, which we've done an episode a few years ago on nesting, I'm not a huge proponent of nesting. That doesn't mean that I don't do it in certain cases or say it might work in certain cases for certain time periods. But I have to admit, when I hear nesting, I start to cringe a little bit.
I have to admit that had we had video back when we did that episode with the nester, God bless, I don't even remember her name.
The nester.
The nester. The video would have killed. I mean, the viral clips we would have of Morgan just like staring into the abyss while this woman had a fabulous experience nesting. And I think that's great that she had a fabulous experience, but a lot of people don't. And it is just such a thing. And you know what? Listen, if you nest, and the term nesting comes from a bird nest, so that the kids or the birds are always staying in the bird nest and then the parents come in and out. If this works for you, then that is great. We are entitled to have our own opinions, right? Like, and we don't like it. So please know, like, we love you. We don't like this, and don't hate us. But here's our full opinion on why you shouldn't nest. Go for it.
Oh, so many opinions. You spoke, we listened. Our number one product, the Divorce Crash Course, is now available as a private podcast.
So for $150, you'll have access to listen to the DCC just like you're listening to this episode right now. You can watch the DCC and you'll get the printable workbook.
More importantly, you'll get insider information to save up to thousands of dollars on your divorce.
The Divorce Crash Course, expert divorce guidance for a fraction of the price. Check out the link in our show notes or visit thedivorcecrashcourse.com.
All right. I want to take a step back, because if you're nesting or thinking about it, it's not horrible in every situation. My opinion of it is it works in certain cases and it works for a period of time. It does not work indefinitely. It does not work for years. That's where it starts to break down. So if it could be like a temporary band-aid, nesting can work. So nesting is when, you know, like Andrea said, the kids are in, let's just say, the marital residence, and certain days are, you know, Brenda's days, certain days are Chad's days. And on the days that they're not their days, let's just say it's not Brenda's Monday or Tuesday, Brenda's going and sleeping or staying somewhere else. And there's pros and cons with it. The pro is yes, the kids are in their space. They know the space. They're happy, et cetera. The con is that you are coming in and out of a house. You really don't have a home base. And you're probably spending a lot of money on another residence or maybe two residences. So at times when you're doing nesting, you know, everyone wants their own space. You're going through a really hard time. You want your own space. So you might have three residences, because you've got the home base, and then you've got Brenda's residence, and then you've got Chad's residence. That's a lot of money just to keep the kids kind of in the marital residence coming and going. Where I see a lot of problems down the road, again, it can work for a period of time, like maybe 6 months, 9 months, something like that, while we're trying to figure other things out. But where I see a lot of problems is when down the road, when people move on. So, you know, you're moving on. Now you're stuck in this nesting where when you're with the kids, you need to be in the marital residence. Well, what happens when you have a new family or somebody you want to be with, or you can't have any of your personal items in this marital residence? You're kind of like a stranger in your own house.
It's so hard to get on when you're moving on to nesting.
Oh my God. You can't get it on in the nest, okay?
Cannot get it in the nest. The nest will fall and break and the eggs will crack. And your life will be scrambled.
Exactly. Don't get your life all scrambled. You're scrambled enough already. Mm-hmm. So nesting has its pros and cons. And I would suggest to you that nesting could work on a short period basis, but also financially, it might not be long term.
Let me tell you why I hate it.
All right.
Okay. I hate it. It is a bad idea. And here's why. Unless you are divorcing an amazingly outstanding individual who is so kind and generous and compassionate and understanding and respectful, which if that's the case, then why are you divorcing them? It is going to turn into a fucking mudslide bloodbath that your children are going to have a front row seat to. It doesn't always protect the kids. And at some point, you're going to move out. At some point, that house is either going to be mom's or dad's, or the house is going to be sold, and the kids are going to have to adjust. And it's going to be so hard for them to adjust when they're like, well, I don't get it. You guys lived like this for 6 months. Why now? It is hard and nobody wants to disturb the kids, but also children will adapt. Children will, and having kids adapt and having a kid go through a hard thing is not the worst thing in the world. Showing a child, being their guide while they go through a hard thing, that's called parenting, and you can do it, and they will be better for it. Here are some bigger issues with nesting as I see it. If you're not divorcing Mother Teresa, then you could have so many fucked up things happen in that house that then you have no recourse for. It's not just, you don't know, I don't know how to say this, divorce brings out the worst in people. You're nobody, even Mother Teresa is going to have a bad day and act like a raging bitch because she's going to feel threatened. She's going to be exhausted. Chad might not be that bad of a guy, right? But you don't know what's going to happen to Chad when he feels scared and threatened. And again, the kids are going to have a front row seat for it all. So think through it. There's a, like Morgan said before, the financial stuff is crazy because you're paying for another residence while you're still paying for half of the marital residence. Sometimes when people nest, they even share an apartment that they have when they're not with the kids. And what the fuck?
Gross. Gross. Yeah. So here's some things that I've seen. I mean, first of all, again, if you're moving on in your marriage, you're going to be moving on at some point. I know that most of you are sitting out there being like, what? Are you serious? I'm never dating again, never getting married, never talking to the opposite sex or the same sex, whoever you're into. Doesn't matter. But
well,
it will happen for you in the future.
Okay.
And so you need your own space for that. That's number one. And that might be the furthest thing from your mind. But like some of the other things that I've seen during nesting that can be problematic is, you know, you come in for your day to nest and the house is an absolute shithole. You know, yep. They've left it. You've made this agreement that you keep everything, you know, clean. Well, we all know, even in the best of marriages, there's always someone who's cleaner than the other. So you get to the house and there's, you know, a complete mess all over. You're exhausted. There's a complete mess all over the kitchen. The kids have eaten like, you know, Oreos all day long. And you're trying to like get a hold of the house for your certain days. Other things that can happen. I mean, I've seen it all. I've seen, you know, people going through others' underwear drawers. I've seen people leaving things purposely somewhere. I've seen, you know, really gross, you know, sheets that they leave for the other side. I mean, the list goes on and on. So what did you just say?
Recording devices.
Exactly.
And again, it doesn't mean that you're divorcing the sociopath. It means that you're divorcing somebody who's going through a thing and may make a bad choice because they feel desperate. They could bug the house. You don't know. You don't know what a divorce can bring out in people.
That's the unfortunate truth. Exactly. So, you know, where have we seen it work? Again, like Andrea said, two people that both want a divorce that are super amicable, that are on the same page on pretty much everything and just want to walk away. You know what, though? The reality is that's not most of the people that I see. So if that's not you, don't feel bad about it. It's normal to be not your best self going through this. And so think about all these things when you're talking about nesting or thinking about it. Again, I don't want to take it off the table for you as a possibility, but I want you to come, Andrea does, but I want you to come at it just knowing the pros and cons on each way. So that's one of the things that you should think about before going down the road of divorce.
And again, be three steps ahead. Think what I'm agreeing to right now. Again, like I talked about with the kids. Just think about the future. Okay, so now that we've convinced you not to nest, you're now like, okay, so then I need to move out. And a lot of the followers that we have on social media will reach out to me about this particular topic because they know that part of my story involved moving out early. And it's really tricky for me to talk about for people that was my choice that I still stand by the way. But it's a choice that most people probably shouldn't make. I still stand by what I did because I had a very specific set of circumstances that justified my choice. And these circumstances do not just pertain to why I moved out, but it pertained to me thinking three steps ahead and knowing that I didn't have much to lose or gain in the situation in terms of like the house, okay? But for most of you, that is not going to be the case. So let's talk through why moving out early in the divorce process is typically not a good idea.
Yes. And we kind of touched on it in the beginning. And my recommendation to anyone who has children in the house is you do not move out. You're putting yourself in a really, really bad spot. There are certain very small instances where I would say, you know what? It's just not safe. We'll deal with it later. Get your stuff and get out. Andrea is very unique that she did that and it worked out for her. But for the most part, that is not what I recommend because it does look negatively on your case if you leave your children behind without a parenting schedule in place. Kind of looks like you're telling the other side, yes, they're in charge of the kids. They always have been in charge of the kids. I really don't care that much. I'm just leaving to start my own new life down the street. So you have to be very careful about that decision.
And I will just to backtrack and just so that no one looks at me sideways, I left with my kids. My kids came with me and we had to put in place an immediate sort of emergency parenting plan, right? That happened at lightning speed. And that is how I made major mistakes in this parenting plan that I agreed to. So I did not move out in the middle of the night without my babies. They came with me. But because of that, that's the one fallout from my story. So let's keep going down this like why, because people want to move out, you know?
I know.
They don't want to stay in the house. So for people who were like vomiting when we were talking about nesting, they're on the other side of this. And they're like, And that's what I get all the time, Morgan. People will email me and they'll be like, Andrea, how did you do it? How did you do it? I want to do it. I want to do it tomorrow. How do I do it? And it's like,
well, how you do it is by going to talk to an attorney early and getting a plan together. I just had a meeting today, right before we did this podcast with a potential client. And that was the strategy, is working through how to get this client out of the house with the children or without the children, and what steps could we make to make it an easier transition? There are ways to do it. What I don't want you to do is do something rash or not think through what the consequences could be down the road. That's why we're doing this episode. So, and again, like Andrea said, I didn't even think about what Andrea just said, but it's so important. And we talk about this a lot, and this wasn't on the list of what to talk about for this show, but it should be, which is, when you're rushing to get out of a bad situation, you're inevitably going to make mistakes. And you can do it better if you're prepared, if you're talking to a lawyer, if you're strategizing. And that's why we're doing the show, is because we want you to have the most information, the most strategy, so that when things happen, you're like, oh yeah, I planned for this. Like, I know what to do now. Don't just pick up your shit and run out the door. That it doesn't work like that, because if it does, you're going to make mistakes. And some of those mistakes may be mistakes that we can't undo.
So we have an episode that we have a long time ago about if you're divorcing but you can't move out, and things that you can do in your home so that you can start feeling like you have some like quiet and some like version of like a safe space where you can regroup. But again, you have to think three steps ahead.
Yep.
Am I going to fuck this up by moving out immediately? Now, if your attorney says, yeah, we can do this, and here's the plan of how you do this. Okay, great. Everyone has different stories, right? There are people when there aren't children, right? Or there are people who the children are already out of the house, or who knows, right? So, but all we're saying is your attorney needs to guide this stuff. And if your attorney does suggest something, and there's a part of you that thinks, oh, I don't know, that's when you have the green light to consult somebody else. You don't have to hire another attorney, but you can consult with somebody. You can pay an hour of somebody else's time if something doesn't feel quite right to you, because this is your life. And you have to make sure that you're making choices that, again, three steps ahead are not going to hurt you.
Yep. So let's talk about the last thing to think about before you move down the road of divorce that maybe you're doing that you don't even know could have some kind of an effect. It's financial deals or financial decisions. So you have to be really careful. So a lot of times when people are trying to save the marriage or make things right, I see mistakes that shouldn't be happening. One, I see maybe you have an account that was gifted to you or an inheritance, and I see them trying to make it right. Well, I'll just take that and if we redo our kitchen or if I buy you a car, maybe we'll be happier. Well, now you're gifting your non-marital money to the marital estate. So there are issues there. Or I see, you know, running up different credit card debt because they want to try to be happier. Well, that's going to come back to haunt you potentially in a divorce. How do we divide that up? Or I see, I'm going to take this amount of money per month. You will have access to this amount of money. You're kind of like dividing up the finances before you even get to a divorce. That could have some effect on your case in the future.
Thinking back to last week's episode on manipulation, there are a lot of times where early on, the person who typically has their death grip on the finances will say, listen, we're going to spend a lot of money on attorneys if we go through them, but I'm just going to give you an allowance right now. Or I'm going to give you alimony, unofficial, like blah, 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 or spousal support. And this is what we're going to do until this time. Don't agree to shit until you run it by your attorney. And we talked about this. I remember last week I was channeling my grandmother and I was saying one of the things that Rhoda Rappaport would tell you is don't take shit from anybody. Why are you going to take their word for it? Why are you going to trust them? And again, they might be a lovely person, but you got to think three steps ahead. Because again, if you agree to something unofficially or officially, you're setting a precedent. And then you go back months later and they're like, well, this was fine for you for 9 months. Now all of a sudden it's not. Don't agree to anything. You don't have to say to them, no, fuck you, Brenda. You're lying. Fuck you, Chad. You're a liar. No, just say, you know what? I just want to run this by my attorney before we agree to anything, just to keep everything kosher and above board.
Or you say, why are we making any changes? Let's just do what we've always done. Do what you've always done. So what the court would look at is what's been your status quo? And that's what I don't want to see being changed right before you're potentially thinking about a divorce or whether the relationship is going to stay. Don't change the status quo. Keep doing what you've been doing. And if there is discussion about a big change in the status quo, I want you to go back to our last episode on manipulation and do the WTF acronym. And ask yourself, the first thing, the W is why do we think this person is asking to change the status quo?
Yep.
Why?
What do they want?
Yep. What do they want?
Mm-hmm. And that could be a red flag, y'all. Having something change, having Chad or Brenda come to you and say, hey, while we figure this out, in an effort to save money, because this is going to be really expensive to get divorced. And we want to put our kids through college, don't we? Just think. What do they really want? I got to stay three steps ahead here. And when I go and talk to my attorney, I'm going to stick to facts. Don't get caught up in the emotional mishigas of all of this. Stick to the facts. And don't agree to anything, because these are the biggest mistakes that we see people make. Okay? People are agreeing to financial things that they shouldn't be agreeing to.
And if you don't know the Jewish term mishigash, coming from a non-Jew, it means nonsense. I've learned this over the years.
Yes, mishigash means like craziness. So don't agree to anything crazy. And let's recap all the biggest areas where we see things go awry.
Yep.
trial separations. Why are we separating? Why are we putting this label on it? Okay. We're either going to work to save this marriage, to rebuild this marriage, or we're divorcing. There's typically not a need for this weird, funky gray area. Nobody wants to live in purgatory. As the nut, that is a thing, right? As the Jew asking the Gentile, right?
Here That's we right.
Are. Yep. This podcast is for everyone. Okay. Nesting. Don't do it. Or if you do it, good luck. God bless. Build a strong nest. Moving out early in the process. Think. And making unofficial or official financial deals. These are the things that can really hurt you in your divorce if you are quick to make decisions. And like we touched on before with me and the parenting agreement, when you are making these decisions pre-divorce, it's going to force you to make some really big decisions that you could potentially really fuck up.
You hit them all. So again, if you're sitting there and you're stressed out, this is not why we did this episode. We just want you to have the knowledge so that you can make the best decisions and not make quick decisions, especially if you're in a rocky place, which you may be in currently. And if you're in there or in that space, we've been there. I've seen it every day with my clients. Andrea's lived it. And that's why we do this show, is because we want to tell you that divorce is a marathon. You may not even be in the divorce process yet, and you're in the marathon. It's not a sprint. It could be day by day. Other times it's hour by hour, and that is okay. Like Andrea said, every day may not be a good day, but when you get those good days, enjoy it. That's what Andrea is going to do. If you see her later out on the street, streaking, doing whatever she's doing, she's just having a good day.
And, you know, that should feel really funny for people who are in this pre-divorce stage, because you're going to have days where maybe you're just on like an adrenaline high and you're like, I shouldn't be feeling this good right now. My world is about to come falling apart. That's okay. Still lean into the good day. You're getting that good day for a reason. We all need a boost. Even if you are going through hell, you're going to have days where the hell doesn't feel as hot. Okay. So put on your sunblock and live it up. We do this show to support you. We do this show because we care. It would mean so much to us if you could just leave us a 5-star review and some glowing words. If you have anything less to say, go leave it on somebody else's show. We don't need that here. We love you. We support you. Please join our private communities. Follow us on Facebook. Buy the DCC for Sobbing Out Loud. If you want to avoid major mistakes in your divorce, our divorce crash course has helped thousands of people get it together and save thousands on their divorce.
That's right. Any reviews help us bring on the fabulous guests that we have consistently on the show, so we would appreciate it. Like Andrea said, join all of our communities. We are across all platforms. We do this show for you. We know that you won't make the mistakes that hopefully I've seen in the past and that Andrea has gone through. That's why we're doing this.
That's right. And remember, my friends, you can do this. Yes, you can. You have got this.
And we have got you.